You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome
to Theater Geeks Anonymous,
the podcast about Broadway flops, scandals, and new work.
I'm your host, Ebony Vines.
And I'm your host, Pamela Shandro.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Theater Geeks Anonymous podcast
on the Broadway Podcast Network and all your favorite podcast listening apps.
Thank you.
Okay, Ebony, I've got something to say to you. Are you ready?
Tell me.
Happy anniversary of our podcast idea.
Oh my gosh, it really is.
It's President's Day as we're recording right now. Isn't that fun?
I didn't even think about that. Wow. So what was it?
This is conception
four
day.
Years?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. That's nuts.
There are marriages that don't last this long.
We had our moments.
I feel like have we had more than I know?
I think every couple has their growing pains. Every relationship has their times. And most of ours was happening in the very conception days when we were dealing with all of the technology issues. And like, we hadn't learned how to talk to each other yet.
Yeah.
Or how to communicate. And I think that was huge. Once we figured that out, it was like, oh, okay, we're good.
Well, and it was freaking technology.
Yeah.
Was like breaking us.
It was awful.
As human beings.
Truly, because it was like, it's something that should have been the easiest thing in the world. Plugging in a microphone and talking and having it record was like Alexander Graham Bell did this when the 1800s? I don't even remember. Or anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm going to sound stupid when I say that, but it's fine. It's been a long time since I was in school. And like, we couldn't figure it out to do one tiny little podcast. So it definitely got into the foundation of our friendship for a little bit, but we figured it out.
Trial by fire.
Definitely.
You know,
definitely.
Oh my gosh. Happy anniversary. I was going to sing the happy anniversary song, but I'm not going to. Not going to hurt and pain all of our listeners.
Thank
by
you. I appreciate that.
Trying to sing.
And I don't want that earwig in my ear. Earbug?
Earwig?
Worm. Worm. Earworm.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, Lordy. Good
gracious.
We just started, you guys. This is going to be really fun. So I know the last episode you guys listened to, we kind of explained that we had taken a nice hiatus.
We didn't start, though.
Oh, yeah. Everything is in the weirdness zone today. Welcome.
What's up, theater geeks?
What is up? 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 Did you like that? I kind of liked that. It was like
today we're back.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
We're back to our OG ways today.
Yes, we are going back to where it all began and talking about Broadway theater that flopped.
Yeah.
But this is kind of exciting, though, because we haven't done a lot of contemporary shows.
Most of
the shows that we do are much older. But today we're going to do one that happened in the 2000s. Should I announce it?
Please do.
There you go. Talking about all our technical difficulties. And now we're coming back with another huge technical difficulty. Listen, I tried to do a little drum roll. I'm not going to do that again. I had to switch to my computer microphone. We're going to see how this goes. Sorry if there's bad quality right now. Ebony informs me that it's fine.
Yeah, it sounds fine so far.
Okay, good. Fingers crossed then. Say a prayer. I guess spit over your shoulder three times.
I wish I had salt.
I know. We're all salty. We're a little salty. We can use that. So the musical that I'm doing today is Good Vibrations, which is the musical based on the Beach Boys jukebox soundtrack.
Very exciting.
It is exciting. I had fun doing this one. And you know how I like to wait until the last minute. So this was done. I know. I did this. Basically, I started about 10:30 this morning. Had to put it on pause a little bit when I had the plumber come in. And then got back to it. But it's fun. And surprisingly, because I know that we have run into these issues before, I was actually able to find quite a lot of information about the show, which sometimes doesn't happen a lot with the more contemporary shows.
Yeah.
As far as like the background. Yeah, it is strange because you'd think it'd be all over the place. But I think too, with the implementation of social media, these companies and shows and productions are able to like really cultivate the information that they want to have out there. Mm-hmm. And anything else they have deleted. So our loss sometimes, but yeah, not in this case. So as always, I'm going to tell you who I read and where I got most of my information, including, of course, Wikipedia, because mm-hmm. it usually has a wealth of information that you can then fall down rabbit holes about. Mm-hmm. I also found some information on IBDB.com. I love IBDB. And yeah, I will say that for these newer shows, the information they have on there is enormous. Like there is so much stuff. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Broadway World and also Playbill.com. Those will just name a few. And then I've got some listed later on.
Okay.
So
awesome.
Yeah. First preview for Good Vibrations was on December 20th, 2004. Opening night being February 2nd, 2005, and it ran all the way until April 24th, 2005 at the Eugene O'Neill Theater, having 50 previews, that's 50, and 94 performances.
Okay.
Good Vibe, I know. It actually does seem like quite a bit, but it was considered magnanimously unanimously, I should say, as a flop.
Oh, I remember.
I don't, because I was still living in Illinois at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So good.
Keep going.
I will. Good Vibrations is a Broadway jukebox musical conceived and directed by John Carafa, featuring the music of Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys, of course, are an American rock band that formed in Hawthorne, California in 1961. The group's original lineup consisted of brothers Brian, Dennis, and Carl Wilson, their cousin Mike Love, and a friend, Al Jardine. Distinguished for their vocal harmonies, adolescent-oriented themes, and musical ingenuity, they are one of the most influential acts of the rock era. They drew on the music of older pop vocal groups, 1950s rock and roll, and black R&B to create their unique sound, and under Brian's direction, often incorporated classical or jazz elements and unconventional recording techniques in innovative ways. Brian Wilson is mentioned specifically and individually here, and that's because in 1961, he actually began his professional career as this member of the Beach Boys, but he was serving as the band's songwriter, producer, co-lead vocalist, bassist, keyboardist, and de facto leader. John Carafa, the director, is an American theater and film director choreographer, best known as the two-time Tony Award nominated choreographer of the Broadway musicals Urinetown and the 2002 revival of Into the Woods. He was also the Media Choreography Honors Award winner for the Robert Zemeckis film, The Polar Express. He was a dancer and assistant to Twyla Tharp before becoming a choreographer and director for Broadway, film, and television. And I should also say that in addition to directing Good Vibrations, he was also the choreographer. So the plot, it's gonna be a very small read here. The plot follows a group of high school pals desperate to escape their one factory New England town and drive to California. Of central interest to the plot are David Larson as Bobby and the vain and popular big man on campus at the small town high school, and Kate Reinders as Caroline, the mousy class valedictorian who has had a crush on Bobby since the fourth grade. Dreading the prospect of life working at the local factory, Bobby and his pals, the engaged Eddie, Titus Burgess, and Shallow Dave. Shallow Dave, Brandon Wardell, they con Caroline into driving them to California in her new red convertible. Once they reach the West Coast, however, things don't turn out exactly as any of them had planned. Though the simple storyline and the Beach Boys music give the show a 1960s feel, the tale is not set in any specific year. Good Vibrations uses more than 30 songs written by Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. Some are heard in their entirety and some are just in snippets, but they include Fun, 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 Wouldn't It Be Nice, I Get Around, Don't Worry Baby, Surf City, Surfin' USA, California Girls, Help Me Rhonda, God Only Knows, and of course the titular number, Good Vibrations. I don't know earworms. About you, right?
They're all earworms.
Ebony, I freaking love the Beach Boys. I love them. And it's even before doing this this episode, I will sometimes just get in the mood to listen to the Beach Boys and I will put them up on my radio. And it does not matter how bad a mood I was in before starting to listen. They just have a really a great way of uplifting you in that moment. I love them. Now, okay. This is the point in my research where I tell you about the creative team, but there are very many, there's just too many names to list. Yeah. So I encourage you all to check out ibdb.com to see who was all involved in this production. However, the cast on opening night starred Kate Reindeers as Caroline, David Larson as Bobby, Titus Burgess as Eddie, Brandon Wardell as Dave, Jessica Snow Wilson as Marcella, David Reiser as Dean, and Sebastian Arcellus as Jan. You've also got Janet DeCall, and I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, so I apologize, Janet, Sarah Glendening, and Krista Rodriguez, who all made their Broadway debuts in this show. I know, isn't that fun?
Baby Krista.
Very baby Krista. Good Vibrations received many harshly mixed reviews that condemned its plot as being superficial, predictable, and bland, contrived around incorporating as many Beach Boys songs as possible. Since the songs were not tailor-made for the musical, critics complained that songs did little to progress the plot or give insight into the characters. Therefore, despite an energetic cast and a soulful score of favorite tunes, the general verdict was that Good Vibrations made for a nice concert, but a poor example of true musical theater. Mm. So part of, I mean, there were quite a few critiques that you can find online. I'm going to read one from playbill.com article by Robert Simonson on April 19th, 2005. So this was shortly before they closed.
Okay.
And this is just an excerpt here. The show began December 20th, 2004 and opened February 2nd. Though its run will have been a mere 50 previews and 94 regular performances, many observers expected its visit to Broadway to be even shorter. The Jukebox musical, which is directed and choreographed by John Carafa, was dogged by remarkably bad buzz even before it gave its first performance. Opening night reviews were almost uniformly negative. The new show arrived on Broadway without the luxury, and I'm going to repeat this very loudly, without the luxury of an out-of-town tryout. It was to have premiered on January 27th, and indeed the opening night party remained on that day, but the unveiling was pushed back to February 2nd while the creative team honed their work. In early January, experienced New York director David Warren was brought in to assist in the staging. Warren reportedly began work at the O'Neill on January 6th, and John Carafa, though, he remained the official director and choreographer on the project. I couldn't find anything else written about David Warren, so there wasn't any kind of, like, gossip behind the scenes that had been written down and left on the internet, unfortunately, because that would have been exciting to read. Now, in another article announcing the full cast on Broadway.com, it mentions that the show premiered at Vassar Powerhouse Theater, where it ran from July 29th through August 1st in 2004. So that kind of contradicts the idea that it didn't have an out-of-town tryout.
Well, it's like, so that is like a, it's not a tryout
like a workshop.
How a show would go to. Yeah, it's more like that because it's not a tryout like how shows will go to La Jolla and have one. It is. It's just like a workshop. Like Hamilton was there for a minute, but it's like proper tryout would have been the public theater, you know?
Gotcha.
So
No, that makes sense. I couldn't find a lot of information about this particular production, but I did find out that Titus Burgess and David Larson both continued in their roles from that production.
Okay.
I also read that Megan McGinnis was in the role that Kate Reindeers took, but she was in Little Women at the time. So she had to go and do that. That was the same year as this, 2005. Let's see. Oh, So I did say I couldn't find anything else, but then I came across a book called The Complete Book of 2000s Broadway Musicals by Dan Dietz. It's super fun and a little bit snarky. I'm just going to read from it. This is it's a fun read. It's pretty long, but bear with me because I think you're going to enjoy it as well. The jukebox musical Good Vibrations featured songs by the Beach Boys, and no doubt everyone associated with the show thought, count three and pray Mamma Mia. But lightning didn't strike twice, and the show was one of the most vilified of the decade, losing 7.7 million and closing after less than 3 months. Although the program's vague here and now description didn't say much, the here was clearly California and the now was a kind of idealized 1950s and 1960s limbo of surfing, swimming, splashing, sunbathing, suntan lotion, and sunglasses, in which only surfer guys, beach kids, chili dog kids, and giggle girls, as well as a bikini girl, a cowboy, and a country dude were allowed. The show also borrowed a dollop of grease for its slender plot about the high school romance between a rebel-like bad boy and the nice and respectable girl. The musical also included a mixed race couple and a gay or two, characters one suspects wouldn't be found in authentic beach party flicks of the 1960s. Ben Brantley in the New York Times said, "The rickety musical was a singing headache," but noted the show had a purpose because its reason for existence was to make all other musicals on Broadway look good. The season had thus far offered such clunkers as Dracula, Brooklyn, and Little Women. But these shows now seemed like
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Oh, you don't remember it?
No.
Oh, interesting. That was one of those I feel because I was living in Chicago at the time and Brooklyn was huge with the theater kids of Chicago. And I think it's because it was meant to be like it was this kind of like small fish made it big kind of storyline as far as the actual musical was concerned. Who was in the lead? I think it was Eden Espinosa.
Oh.
Was in
Totally remember Little Women.
Yeah. And Dracula, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't remember Brooklyn.
Wow. Yeah. So these were the clunkers that they had in 2005, but these shows now seemed like a high point of professionalism, according to Ben Brantley. The book was blockheaded comic strip, and the direction and choreography were sloppy. The costumes were a potpourri of styles and eras that could give that could have come from a mass market department store. The over-accessorized sets included beach balls galore. The cast had apparently spent more time in the gym than in the rehearsal studio, and the sum effect was a lumbering, brainless Frankenstein's monster stitched together from stolen body parts and stuffed into a wild bikini. Yikes, he didn't pull any punches there. David Rooney in Variety said the amateurish musical didn't approach the staggering tedium of The Look of Love, but was so inept it made Mamma Mia look like Sunday in the Park with George. The show wasn't just cheesy, it was Velveeta cheesy, spread thick on white bread, and the performers weren't beached but entirely at sea. One cast member did herself no favors by relentlessly channeling Kristen Chenoweth. Rooney also mentioned those beach balls that the cast occasionally tossed into the audience, and he wondered what would come first, the show's closing notice or a lawsuit over broken eyeglasses. Clive Barnes in the New York Post also used the B word and noted that the show was beached with the drab book, ugly decor, and conventional costumes. And he concluded that Good Vibrations was the wrong time, the wrong show, and the wrong beach. In the same newspaper, Michael Riedel reported that the two Tony voters complained about the beach ball assaults. And Riedel noted that instead the audience that should have been throwing that the audience should have been throwing things at the cast, because here was a show that made Footloose, once the gold standard of awfulness, and Dracula look like masterpieces of the American musical theater. Songs cut during previews were Catch a Wave, Do It Again, Let's Go Away for a While, Little Deuce Coupe, Little Honda. Oh, I didn't realize that was one too. That's funny. Surf and Safari, Wendy, and a couple of others. Earlier, the musical that had been presented at the Vassar College's Powerhouse Theater in July of 2004, and those songs were all included. the debacle of Good Vibrations apparently made everyone forget about New York's first Beach Boys musical. This was when I was like, what? So although perhaps the word suppressed is more accurate, yes, Surf City, subtitled the Beach Boys musical and originally titled Surfin' USA, was scheduled to open off-Broadway at the Intermedia Theater on April 9th, 1985. And one of its co-producers told the New York Times the show was inspired by the idealized lifestyle of the California myth and the feelings, spirit, and fantasies epitomized by the Beach Boys music. But the fantasies went only so far, and the $1.5 million musical shuttered after 11 previews. I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah.
I had no inkling at all that there was another musical. So here's my hot take, because I love finishing off with a Pamela's hot take. My biggest problem to date with these so-called jukebox musicals is that reason exactly, right? Just because a song is great, mm-hmm. and by that reason, I mean no real storyline to follow.
Yeah.
Based on the ideas that the critics presented. Just because a song is great, it doesn't mean that it's meant to progress the story. And in musical theater, that's the most important thing.
Yes, yes.
But why was Mamma Mia an exception to this rule? Is it simply because it was the first? I would argue that in America, at least, the Beach Boys were much more critically acclaimed than ABBA. Certainly the two bands.
Totally.
Right. Certainly the two bands that are, listen, they're both worthy of all of this notoriety because they're both incredible bands, right? But where one of these shows was touted and praised as uplifting and fun, campy, nostalgic, the other was dismissed as being the singing headache and cliche. Also, and this has not a lot to do with the actual shows, but I was watching this video interview online. You can all find them. It was the very first video that popped up when I put in Good Vibrations musical into the Google search. The director, John Carafa, tells us that he had callbacks in bikinis. Okay. But then the interview cuts back to all of these cast members now talking, not about the show that they're in rehearsals for, but about how they're doing crunches in between scenes and they're not eating carbs anymore. And they're all at the tanning salon every chance that they get. And it just reminds me again, how little progress we've made in regards to inclusivity and representation.
Yeah.
There was only one black body I saw in that rehearsal footage, and that belonged to Titus Burgess, and no bodies that would indicate that fat has ever even existed in this world. The lead actress is trying to convince herself that her character wouldn't care about stomach wrinkles when she sits, so it'll be okay. It's equal parts sad.
That's part of the book?
Yeah, that was part of the interview. So Kate Rangers gets up there and she's like, you know, I feel like my character is so self-assured and she's like so confident. So, you know, she doesn't care that when she sits, you can see stomach wrinkles and she doesn't care about walking across the stage in a bikini. So it'll be fine. Like, I don't have to worry about that.
Rendered speechless.
Yeah. A little bit. And this is, it's equal parts sad and disappointing and anger inducing. And I would have hoped that we might have changed even slightly in the intervening 17 years. But we just haven't. So Good Vibrations doesn't leave me with very many good vibrations, to be perfectly honest. As much as I love, the thing is, this is what I hate. Okay. And we've talked about this before, but I'm just gonna simmer a little bit more. Entertainment wants us to believe that if you are anything other than what is represented on stage and on screen and in magazines, that you are other.
Right.
That
right.
you're not normal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case.
Right.
There are a lot more people of color in this world than would be indicated on film.
Well, that's why we call ourselves the global majority, because we are.
Yes. There are also, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this at the last view, the average size of a woman in America was 14.
Yeah.
Which is also sadly considered plus size, which it is not, but that's a whole nother issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell me
that there isn't a single woman with curves and fat on a beach in California. You can't tell me that, because that's a big fat lie. That's and I just thought of this, because you know how we used to watch, we watched those movies on TLC and on Turner or TCM, yeah. And AMC, mm-hmm. Of, you know, like the Annette Funicello beach movies, right?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
They never worried about every woman being stick thin and every man having a six pack in those movies. That was the 1950s.
Right. Right.
And at some point we like lost the ability to see what is right in front of our face.
Right.
And what should continue to be represented.
Yeah.
It just kills me. And then I think of like Renaissance pictures, like portraits, right? Because my body is all over those paintings. Right. I see myself everywhere.
Yeah.
And I just saw a TikTok actually with a black man putting up beautiful black Renaissance paintings too, mm-hmm. of these people of color in Renaissance garb. And I was like, I didn't even know those existed, which I'm glad I saw the TikTok of that, because I think that was his point in the first place. Right, but I was like, everyone has been represented up to a certain point in this world. And then we got to the 20th century and suddenly, I don't know what that's about, but there's a conspiracy there.
I know.
I'm going to drink a water.
I know. Yeah. That's wow. I didn't know about Surf City. I want to go down that rabbit hole.
Oh my gosh. 11 I know.
Performances.
Listen, I was so close to like typing it into the Google and I was like, no. I have to just leave it here for now, because there was so much on the actual show that we were doing. But yeah, that is really interesting. I'll have to see if it's included in Not Since Carrie or if it's in the other book that we have.
Mark, do you remember? Mark Robinson's book.
Yes.
It's a musical misfires.
There it is. Thank you. Mm-hmm. To see if there's any information otherwise. That'd be really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. I wonder if it's in Second Act Trouble, even too, which I have here. So I'll look in there and see if it's in there too.
Ebony.
What?
I just had a resurfaced memory.
What?
While I was doing my research, I saw the name Ken Mandelbaum attached to the cast, but not, it was one of those, like, here, the cast has been announced, but it wasn't entirely confirmed at that point. But like people like Justin Guarini were mentioned in it, but Ken Mandelbaum was mentioned in it as well. And he wrote Not Since Carrie. I just had that memory.
In Surf City?
No. In Good Vibrations. Does that really make sense? I don't think that makes sense though, because I feel like the cast was all very young. Like, I don't even think they had their token old people.
Okay. So maybe it's just, maybe it was like, because sometimes when you search for stuff, Google Books will pop up with like excerpts from books. So maybe it was
okay.
From Not Since Carrie. Yeah.
No, I'll just maybe edit this part out then, so no one gets excited.
That, like, thinking about Surf City and Good Vibrations, and then it's like, then why then did we also decide to do Escape to Margaritaville, which is like the same feeling.
Well, and it's also the same feeling, but it's different music and it's a different artist completely.
But like it's still I flopped. Get
it. Well, why did we even decide to do any of these jukebox musicals? Because there was the Elvis one. What is that one called? I just went right through my brain. Shoot, it's one of his songs. Is it
Jail something?
No.
It's not the Jail one. It's somebody's going to be like, what the hell, Ebony?
I know, they're yelling at us right now.
Yeah.
It's like with G, there's a G word. Let me just Google it.
I don't know. Because I feel like there's just like a handful that have worked or have mm-hmm. done well. Like Carol did well. Jersey Boys did well, which actually.
All shook up. Sorry.
Oh.
All shook up. But that also wasn't. That was also in 2005. I feel like that was also. They all happened right at the same time.
Yeah.
Right in the early 2000s.
Well, it's the same with Donna, the music, with the,
yeah,
Summer, the Donna Summer musical, because like it opened and then Cher was opening right after. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, the same concept of like the three women playing her at three different parts of her life. I mean,
yeah, it's interesting how, because remember also that, shoot, man, my brain stopped working.
Remember how, is another jukebox musical?
No, it's the two, Wild Party. Both, oh, Wild, yes, Parties, yes, came out in the same year.
Yes, like, yes.
That was, come on, you guys. You're like, seriously, you couldn't, yeah, have just waited to see maybe if that one would flop and then come out with yours, I like, know, at least. But no, I feel like that always happens. Everything is kind of cyclical that way. And so ideas will, you know, and you'll notice too, like regional theaters will all tend to do the same seasons each year. Like, mm-hmm, there'll be one or two shows that are on everybody's season in one given year. Yeah. So I'm not sure why that works or why they end up doing it, but
yeah,
not for me to say. I'm just Pamela, just a lowly dog groomer.
/ podcast host.
Right. No, but it is interesting. But I will, because you mentioned Jersey Boys, which, yeah, isn't in the same, it's not in the same vein. I don't even think you should really call it a jukebox musical. Like, anyone should call it a jukebox musical, because yes, they use the music of the Four Seasons, but it's about their life.
Right, right.
It's, mm-hmm, it's a biography. If, right, anything.
It's a biographical musical.
Yeah, it's a bio.
So was Cher and Donna.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I keep calling it Donna, but it's actually called Summer, the Donna Summer musical.
I was always calling it Donna too.
Yeah.
But anyway, mm-hmm, I just, yeah, I think it worked once with Mamma Mia, and then everyone tried to get that. And I don't know why it worked. We've already had this conversation,
yeah,
before.
Because, like, it's, neither of us like Mamma Mia.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. Anyway, but it worked.
It is terrible. Now, mind you, I didn't see Good Vibrations. I also didn't see the first one, Surf City. And I actually also haven't seen All Shook Up, although it is, but that's about Elvis's life.
Yeah, that's
it?
Elvis music.
Okay, that's different. But I have seen Mamma Mia, and the only thing I can say about that is, like, no, I don't like it. I don't care if you come for me. Right. I don't care. I like ABBA, but I hate that musical.
Right.
But
I'll go home and I'll listen to the soundtrack of, oh, not the soundtrack. I'll listen to the soundtrack of Mamma Mia. I'll, yeah, listen to ABBA music all day long.
Well, what I was going to say, though, is that remembering the plot, it does seem to, like, I loved the 2002 when they did it at the Tony Awards. They did like this little montage of songs. My favorite part was the money montage. And it did seem to, like, they figured out a way to get it to kind of move the plot forward, because she, okay, is, like, at that point trying to figure out how she's, yeah, going to keep her in, or whatever the thing is, open. Sure.
I'll agree with that,
you know. And so but again, I never saw Good Vibrations, yeah, you know.
I think the biggest complaint for these kind of shows outside of Mamma Mia is that, yeah, the music was kind of spackled around the, yeah, songs, and it didn't move the plot forward. So,
right,
yeah, I guess you could argue that perhaps the ABBA songs did move the plot forward, whereas these other ones didn't. And that, right, might have just been because, oh, it's popular right now, let's get our musical out there.
Right.
And maybe they just didn't take the time to kind of really think it
have
through.
A decent book. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, that's it. That's the musical. Good Vibrations with the Beach Boys music. Thank you for listening, friends.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Theater Geeks Anonymous. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at
TGABWay
and on Facebook at Theater Geeks Anonymous.
And if you want to tell us how much you love us, or you have a great story about one of the shows we've talked about, drop us a note at
TGABWay
@gmail.com. You can also support us by going to patreon.com/TGABWAY. Until next time, geeks!
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.